السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله، عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم، أما بعد. فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في قرآنه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is no doubt our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. We ask him Jalla wa Az to shower his choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyam. So inshallah ta'ala, today, or rather this evening, we'll be talking about family, an anchor during rough waters. So inshallah ta'ala, we'll talk about family ties, the importance of maintaining family ties, maintaining kinship, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So to start off, there is a narration that I would like to share with you all. And this particular narration has been recorded in the book of Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, rahimahumallah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the creation, when Allah azza wa jal created al-khalq, when he created the creation, hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, when he created the creation, the narration goes along the lines of these words, Rahim stood up. I'll translate. It's not some Mr. Rahim. I'm talking about Rahim in the sense family ties, kinship, stood up and said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, this is the standing up of someone who fears of being cut off. Family ties stood up and spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, this is the standing up of someone who fears being cut off. Then Allah azza wa jal addressed family ties, addressed kinship and said, would it please you if I were to decree that if someone were to look after you, if someone were to maintain you, I would look after that individual. And if someone were to cut you off, if someone were to sever you, I would cut my relationship with that individual. Allahu Akbar. Hadith, the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And remember, my dear brothers in Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He does not speak out of his own desires. What he speaks is divine revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, let me repeat the hadith for us to try and understand the meaning. And this is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to repeat something so that it could digest into the minds of people. When Allah azza wa jal created the creation, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the creation, family ties, kinship stood up and said, Ya Allah, this is the standing up of one who fears being cut off. Allah azza wa jal then looked at the family ties, looked at kinship and said, would it please you if I were to decree that if someone were to look after you, if someone were to maintain you, I would look after that individual. I would maintain a relationship with that individual. And if someone were to cut you off, if someone were to sever ties with you, I would cut my relationship with you, with that individual. I would sever my relationship with that individual. And family ties replied in the affirmative. Kinship replied in the affirmative. So from this hadith, we understand that it is of utmost importance that we maintain our family ties. Alhamdulillah, it's just a couple of weeks, I think, after Eid. And generally, whenever Eid comes about, what do we do? Oh, by the way, I'm not the only one going to be doing the talking, inshallah ta'ala. So I expect some of you as well to get involved a little bit, yeah? So what do we do when Eid comes about? We obviously go around visiting our friends and family, right? We go around visiting our family. But sadly, a trend that we observe is that we tend to only visit our family, we tend to only maintain our kinship when Eid comes about. When Eid al-Fitr or Eid al-Adha. But otherwise, we tend to, you know, remain oblivious of them. We tend to forget them. We tend to completely lose touch with them. Only when Eid comes about, we go, we visit, and we do all of that. So inshallah ta'ala, let's try to discuss the merit of uniting the ties of kinship firstly. And then we'll also see the warnings that have been given to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam in terms of severing ties of kinship. And let's look at a few ways on how we can bring about family ties and bring about unity amidst our family as well. Number one, listen to me attentively. Number one, in terms of the merits of uniting ties of kinship. Number one, you gain the relationship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as how we mentioned in this particular hadith, you gain the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something that you and I, we are all striving for. A relationship with Allah azza wa jal. Allahu Akbar. Because He subhanahu wa ta'ala is the fountainhead of love. He is the creator of love. When you talk about love, you have many shades of love. Many shades of love. I'm not talking about 50 shades of grey. Talking about the shades of love. We have many shades of love. And from those shades of love, you have the pinnacle. And that is to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The peak in love is to love Allah azza wa jal, the fountainhead of love, the creator of love. We are supposed to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every other love story that you have, you're most probably going to end up with heartache, with so much of pain, with so much of hurt and worry. But this love story with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is never ever going to end up with heartache, with pain, with worry, never. Allah Azza wa Jal is going to keep you happy forever and ever. So look, you maintain ties of kinship, you enjoy a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said in the hadith, if you maintain your ties of kinship, Allah Azza wa Jal has promised that He will maintain you and He will have a relationship with you. Allahu Akbar. Just amazing, number one. Number two, it is the slogan of believing in Allah and the Day of Qiyamah. Hadith is in Bukhari. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawm al-akhir falyasil rahima." The one who believes in Allah and the last day, let him unite his ties of kinship. "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawm al-akhir falyasil rahima." The one who believes in Allah and the last day, let him unite ties of kinship. So number two, it is the slogan of believing in Allah and the last day. If you call yourself a believer, if you believe in the last day, then it is upon you to unite your ties of kinship. It is upon you to maintain family unity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to do so. Next in line, the third benefit, and this is something I think that would appeal to all of us. Hadith is in Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, "Man ahabba an yubsata lahu fi rizqi aw yunsa'a lahu fi athari falyasil rahima." Amazing. The individual who wishes that Allah azza wa jal should increase sustenance for him, money, rizq, provision. If he wishes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should increase his provision for him, and if he wishes that Allah Azza wa Jal should prolong his life for him, then what should he do? فَلْيَصِلْ رَحِيمًا. Let him unite his ties of kinship. This particular wording in the hadith, أَوْ يُنْسَأَ لَهُ فِي أَثَرِ. Scholars of hadith, scholars who have written the commentary of this particular hadith, they have given explanations. One is, if you wish that Allah should prolong your life. Number two, if you wish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should give you a life that, you know, in the sense people will respect you, people will honor you. And if you wish that you should have a life where you will leave behind a golden legacy. All these interpretations can come under that particular wording in the hadith. Today, you know, when we ask individuals in terms of their legacies, we are at times clueless. When we mention legacy, the high-tech guys in the house will be thinking about the legacy application or about the legacy games, perhaps. Nobody, we very rarely think about our legacies. You know, if you don't take anything from me tonight, home, back home, at least take this. When you go, after the talk, ask yourself. This is a question that we very, very rarely ask ourselves. Ask yourself, what is the legacy that I'm going to leave behind? What is the legacy that I'm going to leave behind? Because each and every one of us, we are going to leave behind a legacy. Look at the legacy of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Look at the legacy of the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. This is something I've been touching on in the past few days because it is, you know, food for thought. We need to think about our legacies. We are all going to leave behind a legacy. Every single day, as you get up in the morning, it is a race. You get up in the morning, it's on your marks, get set, go. Every single day. Why? Because time is of the essence. We are striving to do what? To earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you analyze the lives of the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, you easily come to a conclusion that there was always a healthy competition between the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, where they used to strive to do good deeds, not attain materialistic assets. Today that competition has turned the other way around. Today we compete with one another, yes. But in terms of gaining materialistic assets. Oh, you have a BMW 5 Series, so I need to get a Mercedes. Or you have an M5, I need to get something else. I need to perhaps get an X5. You've got this, I need to get this. It's a competition between us, but it's all about materialistic assets. Remember, my dear brother, my dear sister, tomorrow, when you pass away, it is inevitable. We are all going to pass away. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul shall inevitably taste it. We are all going to die. Tomorrow when you die, remember, nobody is going to talk about you. Nobody is going to remember you by talking about your Emporio Armani suit. Nobody is going to talk about your Louis Vuitton shoes. Nobody is going to talk about your Rolex watch. Nobody is going to talk about the brands that you used to deck yourself with. Nobody is going to talk about the vehicle you drove. Nobody is going to talk about the mansion that you used to live in. Nobody is going to talk about any of that. All they're going to talk about is about your legacy. All they're going to talk about is about your good deeds. So as believers, as followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we need to dream big. We need to have high aspirations. As they say, shoot for the moon, you land amidst the stars. You shoot for the moon, you land amidst the stars. We need to have uluwul himma. We need to have high aspirations. The Sahaba, they used to have this. Today what has happened is, we tend to, you know, think low of ourselves. We think low of ourselves and we don't have high aspirations. We feel like, you know, no, I don't think I can do it. Why? Because today, this issue of pessimism, this issue of negativity has riddled us with so much of weaknesses and so much of defects that we can't think in a positive manner. At the end of the day, we're following Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the greatest optimist to ever walk on the face of this earth. He used to look at everything from a positive angle. And he had such high aspirations. When they were in Medina, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to talk about Persia and Rome. One might wonder, oh, you're just in Medina, you're just a small band of Muslims, and you're talking about Persia and Rome? But that was the high aspirations of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, you and I, we all have the potential within us. There was once someone who said this beautiful story. There was a man who boarded a train. He purchased a train ticket and he boarded a train. And when he boarded the train, the conductor, or the one who takes the tickets basically, he came to him and he asked him for his ticket. He had his ticket with him. He gave him the ticket. The man took the ticket and kicked this, the conductor took the ticket and kicked this man out of the train. Even though he had a legitimate ticket, he kicked him out of the train. He kicked him out of the train and this man, he fell on the platform of the train station. He fell on the platform. And no sooner his head hit the platform, he dreamt a dream. A dream so big. He dreamt that he would free his country. And he worked towards it and he achieved it. And he was none other than Mahatma Gandhi. We need to dream big. And you might wonder at that point, being thrown out of a train and he's thinking about freeing his country. But he did it. You and I, we all have the potential to bring about a change, to do great things. But at times we don't think, we feel like, you know, I can't do it. That's the problem. We need to believe in ourselves. We can, we have it within us. With the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can. We have to believe in that. No sooner we do it, we can, inshallah, achieve great things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to do so. Okay, so coming back to the hadith. The individual who likes or wishes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should give him more sustenance, should give him a long life, should give him a life where he leaves behind a legacy that resounds of goodness throughout the annals of time. What does he have to do? I hope I didn't lose you all. What does he have to do? فَلْيَصِلْ رَحِمَةً. Simple. He just has to unite family ties. He has to maintain kinship. Hadith is in Muslim. Allahu Akbar. If he maintains family ties, now you might wonder, what has family ties got to do with this? It has a lot to do with this. Because according to the light of Islam, a family is of utmost importance. The family is a building block towards a healthy society. If you talk about the people of Harrow, mashallah, it's a lovely community here. May Allah Azza wa Jal accept you all. Ameen. Each and every family contributes towards this society, towards this community. A healthy family with two good parents, lovely children, obedient, righteous, pious, they contribute, they are a building block towards this society. And if we have hundreds of families, mashallah, that strengthens that society. You become a strong society here within Harrow. And shaitan knows this. And this is why shaitan strives to fragmentize families. He strives to break apart families. You know of the famous hadith where shaitan has set up his throne in the middle of the ocean. Hadith is in Muslim, if I'm not mistaken. And every single day he takes account from all of his minions and his little foot soldiers. He calls all of them and he takes account from them. Each and every one of them, the little devils, they all say, you know, I did this, I did that. I perhaps, you know, caused this mischief, caused this corruption. I did this, I did that. I misguided this person. I misled this person. They all have their reports to give him. He listens to everything until finally one of the devils say, I was with a husband and a wife. I was with two spouses and I did not leave them until I made them part ways. In other words, until I made them divorce. Shaitan, he congratulates that little devil and he says, you have done well. You have done well. The scholars of hadith, they mention that this is so important to shaitan because he knows the minute two spouses part ways, that family is going to break into pieces. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our families. The children will be broken. They're going to be psychologically disturbed. Allahu Akbar. They're going to become psychologically disturbed individuals. They're going to be torn apart between father and mother. And tomorrow they're not going to, may Allah save our children, but they're going to be mentally disturbed. They're not going to be whole individuals when they come out tomorrow. Because obviously, they've gone through the trauma of seeing their parents separate. So we need to strive. And talking about kinship, it applies between a husband and a wife. It applies between children and their parents. It applies between siblings. It applies between all family members. And remember, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we need to maintain ties of kinship. It's so important, especially between siblings. Look at the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So many lessons to be derived. Time is of the essence. And due to its brevity, I won't go into a lot of detail. But still, because the siblings of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam thought that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was their father's favorite, they thought, which is completely wrong, that was never the case, but they had this misconception, they thought that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was their father's favorite, that resulted in them plotting against their own little brother. And so much to the extent that they plotted to kill him. Allahu Akbar. Their own blood. Just imagine your own brothers plotting to kill you. They plotted and ended up throwing him into a deep dark well. There are a number of lessons that can be derived from the story as well as in general. That as parents, this was never the case with the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. But as parents, we need to be extremely careful that we don't play favorites with our children. Today some parents tend to play favorites with their children due to a number of reasons. But still, at times, this favoritism can morph into abuse. Let me explain. It can morph into abuse where the favored child, in the sense the favorite child, is also abused, and the child who is not favored is also abused. The one who is favored builds up a superiority complex, so much to the extent that that child is filled with an inflated ego. That child feels like, wherever the child goes, he or she feels like people need to favor me. People need to do things for me, just as how my father or my mother used to do for me. The child who was not favored, on the other hand, suffers insecurity, suffers being insecure, suffers an inferiority complex. And this child starts to look for assurances outside the home. And that may result in these predatory groups outside taking advantage of the little child. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our children. There's a hadith where Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu anhu, he once climbed the pulpit and he addressed the people. He said to them, the incident goes along the lines of these words, "Let me tell you all of an incident that took place between my father and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Once my father wanted to gift me something." Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu anhu is saying this. "Once my father wanted to gift me something, and when he wanted to do that, my mother said, 'Go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and ask him to witness that you're gifting this.'" Allahu a'lam, maybe she sent something, but she wanted her husband to go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and ask him to witness it. So Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu anhu's father goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, "Ya Rasulullah, I want you to witness that I'm going to give something to my son." You know what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him? He asked him, "Fine, you're giving something to Nu'man. Have you given the same to your other children? Have you gifted the same to your other children?" To which the man replied in the negative. He said, "No, I haven't." Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very sternly advises him, "Fear Allah and treat your children with equity. Treat your children equally with justice." In another narration, the same incident is reported in different words. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said to him very sternly, "Don't call me to witness, for I cannot, for I do not witness injustice." Allahu Akbar. We have to be equal with our children. Because if we are not, the minute we start playing favorites, that's when envy builds. That's when grudges start forming. That's when hatred comes in. And that's when siblings start to fight with one another. Just as how the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, they thought, it was never the case, but they thought that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was their father's favorite. And they plotted against him and they almost killed Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahu Akbar. So we as parents, we need to be extremely careful that we don't play favorites with our children. We have to be equal according to the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this favoritism, it manifests itself in different forms. It comes about in different forms. One, where a parent would sometimes, in a very systematic manner, only shower one child from his or her children with gifts, shower one child with affection, where the other children are all left off. So they feel deprived. They feel sad. They sometimes even go through minor forms of depression at times. This is one way. Another form is when a parent does not discipline a child. He or she disciplines all the other children, but because the parent favors this one child, he or she does not discipline this child. He or she does not give heavy chores to that child, heavy duties to that child. So that child feels favored, whereas all the other children feel, you know, why are we? Perhaps you're not good enough. They always feel insecure. Another form is when parents talk positively to one child or about one child and leave all the other children aside. When they're talking to someone about their children, they only focus on this one child. "Oh, she's so bright. She studied so well. She's got straight A's. She's this, she's that." Neglecting the other child. Remember, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we as parents, we need to understand that each child is different. Each child is different. And when we talk about treating children equally, it's not only taking an apple and cutting it into two and giving two halves equally. That's not the definition of justice here. At times, yes, that is the case. But sometimes we need to study our children. For each child is an individual who has a set of needs, abilities, and talents. Say, for example, let me give you an example. You have two children. One child is talented, academically gifted, whilst the other child is not so intelligent. Now this child who is talented and who is intelligent wants to pursue a particular field, a very complex field perhaps. And maybe you may have to spend a little more on that. The other child does not want to pursue that field. Now just because that child does not want to pursue that complex field, you cannot say justice is to deprive the intelligent child also of that field. No. You're supposed to give the intelligent child his or her right. And you're supposed to give the child who does not want to pursue that field his or her right. This is being just. This is being equal. This is just one situation. But in general, we need to study our children. We need to be able to treat them equally in a manner where they don't feel deprived. This is what we call justice and equity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to treat our children in the best of manners according to the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Moving on to the merits of uniting family ties, number 4 in the list, down the list, is uniting family ties is one of the greatest reasons for entering Jannah. One of the greatest reasons. Allahu Akbar. There is a hadith where one Sahabi radiallahu anhu asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and remember, I'm giving you all a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not just words from my pocket. These are all a hadith. I'm proving each point of mine with a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This hadith is recorded in Muslim. There was a Sahabi who went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked him, Ya Rasulullah, akhbirni bi'amalin yudkhilni al-jannah. Inform me of a deed that would grant me entrance into Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then taught that Sahabi, ta'budullah, worship Allah, وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِي شَيْئًا, and do not associate partners unto him. وَتُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, establish salah, وَتُؤْتِيَ الزَّكَاةِ, give out zakah, وَتَصِلُ الرَّحِيمِ, and enjoin family ties, unite family ties, and you will enter Jannah. Allahu Akbar. Look at how beautiful the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at how beautiful Islam is, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. Now moving on, in terms of the punishments an individual would have to incur if he or she severs family ties. This is also something very important. We need to understand the gravity. Today, sometimes for petty issues, siblings are not talking to one another. Children disregard their parents. They're not talking to their parents. Allahu Akbar. For petty issues, you need to understand the gravity. The minute you sever a relationship, what you have to face in terms of the punishment and in terms of the punishments and the consequences. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. Allah Azza wa Jal, He states in the noble Quran, فَهَلْ عَسَيْتُمْ إِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ أَن تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَتُقَطِّعُوا أَرْحَامَكُمْ أُولَئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فَأَصَمَّهُمْ وَأَعْمَى أَبْصَارَهُمْ فَهَلْ عَسَيْتُمْ إِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ أَن تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَتُقَطِّعُوا أَرْحَامَكُمْ. And if you were given authority, if you were given power over the lands, and tufsidu fil ard, would you cause mischief and corruption on the face of this earth, and would you sever ties of relationship of family? Allahumma akbar. If you were given power, if you were given authority, would you cause mischief and corruption on earth by severing ties, family ties? So look at the connection. By severing family ties, by cutting family ties, you are causing mischief and corruption on the face of this earth. And the ayah does not end there. Now is the severe admonishment coming up. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ. They are the ones cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ. They are the ones cursed, not by any ordinary human being. At times we fear the curse of normal human beings. This is Allah cursing the ones who sever family ties. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فَأَصَمَّهُمْ وَأَعْمَى أَبْصَارَهُمْ. And Allah Azza wa Jal makes them deaf and blind. Deaf to that which is good, blind to that which is good. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors of understanding for all of us. Ameen. If you sever family ties, if you don't understand the value of uniting family ties, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed those individuals. Moving on, there is no sin. This is another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no sin, listen to me carefully, there is no sin more fitted to have punishment meted out to that individual in advance in this life as well as the hereafter than oppression and cutting family ties. If you cut family ties, if you sever family relationships, there is no sin greater than that, other than oppression, there is no sin greater than that for you to be punished in this world as well as the hereafter. It's not only in al-akhirah, you will be punished in this world as well. In the sense, look, if you fulfill family ties, if you enjoy family ties, Allah prolongs your life and Allah gives you more sustenance. So obviously, if you cut family ties, the opposite is going to happen. Your sustenance is going to be restricted. Your life is going to be shortened. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. Ameen. Moving on, another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this has been class Sahih by Imam Al-Albani rahimahullah. Every Thursday, the deeds of the children of Adam are displayed unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every Thursday evening, every Friday night basically. Every Thursday evening, the deeds of the children of Adam, our deeds are presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah azza wa jal, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in that hadith, the individual who severs family ties, his deeds will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the point? What's the point of striving and coming to the masjid for 5 salawat? What is the point of going on hajj? What is the point of going on umrah? What is the point in dishing out charity? What is the point in fasting the month of Ramadan if you have severed family ties? None of those deeds are going to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are not talking to your mother, your deeds are not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are not talking to your father, your deeds are not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have severed family ties between your siblings, between your brothers, your sisters, your cousins, your uncles, your aunts, your grandparents, your deeds are not going to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are all striving, we want our deeds to be accepted by Allah azza wa jal. So it's just a matter of swallowing our ego, swallowing our pride, and going ahead and patching up things between our relations. Sometimes it's just our ego. We don't want to come down from our high horse and patch up. We're like, we didn't do anything wrong. They're the ones who made the mistake. Let them come and apologize. Let them come and say sorry. Let them visit first. Let them gift first. And then we will go. Allahu Akbar. A hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is reported to have said, the person who unites ties of kinship just because his relative united ties of kinship, the person who visits because his relative visited, the person who gifts because his relative gifted, is not the individual who unites ties of kinship. The individual who unites ties of kinship is when his relation severs ties. Like say for example, your uncle, he does not want to meet you. When you greet him, he does not greet you. When you gift him something, he does not gift you anything. When you visit him, he does not even want to entertain you. But you're striving, you're trying hard to patch up things, you are the one going to be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not when you think, oh, my uncle came, so I'll go visit him. My aunt came, so I'll go visit her. That is just almost tit for tat. You have to take the initiative, the extra step. You have to go the extra mile to get all these rewards that I mentioned from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, in terms of the punishments that are given out to an individual, a perpetrator who cuts family ties, this is a very serious one. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, la yadkhulu al-jannah qati'ur rahim. The one who severs family ties will not enter Jannah. It's a definite hadith. What are we doing here? What are we doing in this world, this short temporary life that we have? The other day I was listening to a beautiful analogy about life. Just think of yourself, or think of me rather. I'm walking down a pathway. Say for example, I'm walking down this path. You with me? I'm walking down this path. It's a path with beautiful scenery to my right and my left. I'm engrossed in the scenery. I'm looking at the beautiful sights, the trees, the chirping of the birds. I'm so engrossed. And I'm walking down this pathway. I fail to notice a huge gaping pit in front of me. I fail to notice it because I'm so engrossed with the beautiful sights around me. And then I'm walking. I fail to notice the pit. And suddenly before I know it, I fall into the pit. I fall into the pit and I die. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect me and protect all of us. Ameen. This is the analogy of life. The path is the short, temporary, transitory stage that we are all going through. You and I, we are all going through it. The beautiful sights are the ladhat, the pleasures of this dunya. It engrosses us. That gaping pit is death. It is going to come upon us suddenly. Suddenly. You won't even know it. It'll just hit you in your face. And then it'll be too late. Just as how when you feel like you're falling down a pit and you want to come out, how can you? You're crashing down a pit. Likewise, you will face death. And then it'll be too late. It'll happen so suddenly, even before you realize it. Just as how when you're walking down a path, you don't know about the pit, suddenly you fall into it. Like that, suddenly the angel of death will come in front of you. So you need to do things quickly. So don't think that, oh, I can patch up things with my father or my mother, maybe towards the end of the year. Maybe, you know what, let Eid al-Fitr come about. Oh yes, the Sheikh, he spoke about, mashallah, family and anchor during rough waters. You know what, let me wait till Eid al-Fitr comes about and then I'll go and patch up things. Oh, they live in North London, it's so far away, I've never been to North London, so forget it, let me go, Eid al-Fitr. But will you live until Eid al-Fitr? What guarantee do you have? Do you have a document with you that says when you're going to leave this world? None of us have a guarantee. We don't even know whether we will see the light of tomorrow. We don't. We can sleep and not get up tomorrow. And this is a question that we have to all ask ourselves. Are we ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It can happen anytime. And I call upon each and every one of you. If you have severed ties of relationship with any of your family members, don't hesitate. Today, we live in such a modern era. Our families are divided, yes. Geographically divided. Maybe you are here in the United Kingdom and then your family is back home in Pakistan, India, Sri Lanka, wherever they be. It doesn't mean, in those days it used to cost a lot to call. Today all you have to do is take your WhatsApp, your Viber, your Telegram, whatever it is, and you can contact them. And for us, individuals who have access to all of this, we all have, alhamdulillah. We're supposed to use these platforms to keep in touch with our family members. Now, these are good ways to use these platforms. You have Facebook, because sometimes, perhaps if your family is back at home, I'm talking about, your cousins and your uncles and your aunts, perhaps, if you're not keeping in touch with them, you can sometimes lose touch. You may gradually drift apart. So you can use social media. See, family members, brothers and sisters, they can easily open up a WhatsApp group. Today, for every little thing, you open up a group. You got a project in the office, you open up a group. You guys are going to go out for a coffee, you open up a group for that. We open up groups for the most absurd things at times. And you're like, oh my God, I've got another group coming up on WhatsApp. And you're like, so many groups. But the most important of all these groups is that you need to have a family group. A family group. Perhaps you're married now, your sisters are married, your brothers are married, their children, light moments, maybe little things, videos, snippets about their children, pictures about their children. They can put it up, you can share moments, family moments, share a light moment. And keep in touch so that you're all connected. Perhaps you live in the United Kingdom, perhaps your brother lives in Europe, your other brother lives in Paris. Maybe you're living all around the world. But using these platforms, we can all keep in touch. It's so easy. But before that, if things have gone a bit sour, arguments are inevitable. We are all human beings. We have differences of opinion, and we sometimes, things go sour. The devil also, makes things worse. We need to go out of the way and patch up as soon as possible. Like I said earlier, sometimes it's our ego, it's our pride that doesn't allow us to go ahead and patch up. We think, oh, why should I go and patch up? And sometimes it's for the slightest of things. Sometimes the smallest of things are blown out of proportion. And thunderstorms are brewed in teacups. Thunderstorm. Can a thunderstorm be brewed in a teacup? It's impossible. Tiny things are blown out of proportion. It's a small thing. A small disagreement. A small matter. Perhaps between a brother and a sister, it's a small matter. Perhaps something may have come up. It's a small argument that blows out of proportion. And you say, I'm not going to talk to you. She says she's not going to talk to you. But look at the punishments. This is what is severe, and we need to be understanding all of this. Do you think that it is worth risking all of that just for a petty argument? Do you think it's worth risking your Jannah for that petty argument? Do you think it's worth risking the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this petty issue, for this petty disagreement? It is not worth it at all. So as believers, we must strive to unite our families. And say, perhaps if you know that your brother or your sister or perhaps your uncle or your aunt is not talking to another relation of yours, you as a believer, as a follower of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's your responsibility to go in and mediate between the two. And do you know that in general, lying, it is haram, it is a sin. But in the case of uniting two individuals, uniting two spouses, uniting two family members, it is allowed to lie a white lie. Not a direct lie, a white lie, a diplomatic lie. It is allowed. Say, for example, you could go to two individuals who are not talking and tell one individual, you know, I heard him talking good about you. I heard this other individual talking good about you. And you can intend that at some point of your life, you may have heard him say something good about him. If you have, you can intend that and say, I heard him talking good about you. You can go to the other individual and say, you know what? I heard him talking good about you. And they both think, oh, behind me he spoke good about me. And then when they meet the next time, at least that coldness might have melted a little bit. And you may have been the cause for that. The coldness may have melted a bit. And it's possible that perhaps one of them may initiate salam, assalamu alaikum, in a cold way. But the other may say, alaikum salam. Okay, and he might think, oh, he spoke good about me the other day. The other might think, oh, he spoke good about me the other day. They're never going to go and ask one another, did you speak good about me? And the other is not going to say, did you speak good about me? They're never going to ask one another. But through that, they might unite. And families can unite. And there might be marriages that can take place. And for all of that, the good deeds will come back to you, my dear brother. For your little effort. For those words that you spoke. For coming in the middle of the two and trying to mediate a little bit. Allahu Akbar. You're going to be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for this, we need to understand the value of all of these deeds. We need to understand the value of family. Sometimes some of us, you know, because we do counseling. And we know, some are so hard-hearted. Like, you know, nothing doing. I'm not going to talk to my sister. I'm not going to talk to my brother. It's haram to talk with her. I'm never going to talk to her. I don't care. Even if I die, I'm not going to talk to her. Such harsh statements. And then when we tell them about all of this, that's when they start thinking, oh, I don't care even if I'm going to die, but then I'm not going to go into Jannah. So what's the point? The brother is going to go on Hajj. What is the point when you are not patched up things with your brother, with your sister, with your mother, with your father, with your relatives? The Hajj is not going to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the hadith I just gave you. Every Thursday the deeds are shown to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the one who severs relationships, the one who severs family ties, his deeds are not going to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, I call upon each and every one of you today, this very moment, if you have relations, family members, that perhaps things have gone a little bit sour, or things have gone really bad, really gone south, it doesn't matter. Patch up things with them ASAP. Just take the phone, call them up. Just say sorry. You're going to be the greater person in the equation. Just say sorry. Sorry is a word that can just patch up things immediately. Just swallow your pride, swallow your ego, and know that you're going to be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps that individual might just say, you know what, I don't even want to listen to you, and they might just hang up on you. But it doesn't matter. You have taken the initiative, the angels are going to record that, and you are going to be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who cares? Your sustenance is going to be increased. Your lifespan is going to be increased. And you are going to get Jannah. So who cares what people think? Who cares what your relative thinks? It doesn't matter. Let them talk what they want to talk. At the end of the day, you are going to attain success in the hereafter. You're going to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What more do we want? So take the initiative. Take your phone. Call them up. If you can, just go visit them. Take a few gifts. Say salams as much as possible. According to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, spread salam amongst you, start loving one another. Gift one another, you will love one another. These are all hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, it doesn't mean that you have to go buy an expensive gift. It's not the gift that counts, it's the thought that counts. You can give something small, it's the thought that counts. Oh, you thought about me, you bought something for me. When you meet them, say salams. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May peace be upon all of you. You're making dua for them. This brings about love. So let us strive to do this. Let us patch up things with our family members. If things have gone south, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to do so. And just as how He united us here in this beautiful masjid in Harrow, may He unite us in the gardens of Jannah with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amin wa akhir da'wa. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakum khair.